Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So the thing that really gets me about the Paula Deen diabetes revelation is not that her deep-fried recipes have made her sick. Here is Paula Deen on Oprah in 2009, by the way, if you don't know her.
So what do you say to all of your sort of health-conscious critics?
I'm your cook, not your doctor.
Be sure to tell Dr. Oz that. That's great. So it's 2 sticks of butter. How much sugar was that?
2 sticks of butter. 3 cups of sugar, y'all.
3 cups.
No, it's not the recipes themselves that get me about Paula Deen, or even that a Food Network celebrity kept her diagnosis a secret for 3 years. It's the way she has seamlessly morphed from being a butter and carbs pusher to a prescription drug pusher. Here is a minute of her on the Today Show this week, a little different sounding from her ecstasy on Oprah.
I was diagnosed 3 years ago, Al, doing a regular physical exam with my doctor, that I had type 2 diabetes. And I'm here today to let the world know that it is not a death sentence. I'm working along with a very reputable pharmaceutical company. I'm working on a new program called Diabetes in a New Light. You can go to our website. I'm going to be there for you and help you manage every day of your life with this because it can be done.
And we should mention you're a paid spokesman spokesperson for Novo Nordisk.
Absolutely. I have been compensated just as you are for your work. Yes.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Paula Deen on NBC. Let's talk about it with Marion Nestle, NYU nutrition and sociology professor and author of books including What to Eat, Food Politics, and my favorite, Pet Food Politics, The Chihuahua in the Coal Mine. Hi, Marion. Welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, glad to be here.
So let's just use one more little taste here because people in our area may not know Paula Deen very well. Her roots and really her viewer base are more rural and definitely more southern. So here's one more sample.
I want y'all to just take a look. Look at all the butter in this kitchen. I've probably got about 4 pounds of butter. We're gonna poach our lobster tails in clarified butter. I've got our clarified butter here. I'm just gonna reserve 1 cup of butter because we're gonna use it in a few minutes. Butter is a very, very beautiful thing. I'm so glad God gave us cows.
So, Marion Nestle, have you watched Paula Deen over the years or ever written about her?
I never have until this morning on my blog. I'm so overwhelmed by the ironies and contradictions of and the furor over her statements. As I was listening to the various clips you just played, I was sitting here cringing and thinking.
That's the French version of the word, by the way, furor, right?
Furor, I guess. And there certainly is one. I mean, I'm just astounded by the whole thing. And what no one is talking about is how closely type 2 diabetes is related to diet. Someone from the American Diabetes Association, which has a lot to answer for in this, by the way, was quoted as saying that you can't eat your way to diabetes. You certainly can. Type 2 diabetes is very, very closely related to overweight. It's not that everybody who's overweight gets type 2 diabetes, but if you look at the population of people who have type 2 diabetes, roughly 90% of them are overweight. And they can take care of their symptoms. Many of them can, simply by losing a little weight. Not even a lot of weight, just by losing some weight. But that means a lifestyle in which you're eating less and eating better. And for many people, that's very difficult to do. So they resort to drugs. And the idea that Paula Deen is now a drug pusher seems astounding to me. This is a drug that costs her $500 a month.
I'm astounded to hear you say that the American Diabetes Association says that you can't eat your way to diabetes. I thought that was just settled science and a well-known fact.
It is a well-known. It is a well-known fact, but the American Diabetes Association is strongly supported by the drug industry. I gave a talk at an annual meeting of the Diabetes Association a few years ago, and mine was the only talk on diet. All of the other talks in the meeting were either about basic science of diabetes or they were about drug treatment. And I couldn't understand why it was so unbalanced. The only other dietary talk was a session sponsored by Coca-Cola on sugars and diabetes. I'm not kidding. And I went down to the exhibit, and it was all drug companies, and they were giving away the most astounding swag. They were giving away lab coats and stethoscopes and lots of little tchotchkes all over the place. And I thought, this is an organization that's completely sold out to the drug industry. And it's in everybody's best interest to keep people with type 2 diabetes with type 2 diabetes so they can keep taking all those drugs. All you have to do to get rid of the symptoms is lose some weight.
So Paula Deen made the revelation of her type 2 diabetes as a package deal announcement, with stating that she would now become a spokeswoman for an anti-diabetes drug made by Novo Nordisk. That's what really got me. There is something I find revolting in an Orwellian sort of way about the same person making money by helping us into the disease and then by selling the medication to treat the disease.
Yes, and it's not even an easy medication. It's a medication with an enormous number of side effects, some of them quite serious. And the package insert for the drug says, if you want this drug to work, you have to change your lifestyle. You have to do diet and exercise. Why not just do diet and exercise? Nobody makes any money off of it.
Can you think of any parallel examples? I was scratching my head this morning trying to. It would be like if the same company were to make nuclear weapons and radiation sickness pills, you know, or something like that. But I don't know of any confirmed real-world examples. I'm sure they're out there.
Oh, I think there are others, and certainly in the food industry, there are many examples of food companies that are trying to show that they're promoting health or the environment and then making products that are not good for health and not good for the environment. I see those all the time. But this is such a clear example of everyone trying to avoid what I see as the elephant in the type 2 diabetes room, which is overweight. Rates of type 2 diabetes are going up and up and up in parallel with rates of overweight. We're even seeing type 2 diabetes in young children now. And there should be an enormous national effort to try to get people to understand that connection and to know that if they try to balance their calorie intake and be more physically active, they're going to have less problem with these symptoms.
So, listeners, maybe you can help us out with these other examples. Go to our webpage, WNYC.org, and click on Brian Lehrer Show. If you can think of another example where the same company manufactures a cause of a problem and something to help you live with the problem, can you think of any like that? We'll definitely read them on the air. 212. Go to do this online at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Marion?
Oh, I was just going to say any soda company goes into that category.
But how do they manufacture the thing to help us live with the problem?
Oh, they're all doing greenwashing and fixing the environment and corporate social responsibility and sponsoring exercise programs.
Joy in Davie, Florida. You're on WNYC with Marion Nessel. Hello.
Hello, Brian. Always listen to your show. I would like to question the accuracy of what the person you're interviewing is saying about the American Diabetes Association. I've been reading their material for many years, a couple of decades, and they place a large emphasis on diet in preventing type 2 diabetes, which you should differentiate from type 1, and in helping control it, along with whatever other medication or exercise program people have.
Thank you, Joy. So any response to that? And do make the distinction, because people who don't have it often get confused between type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
I thought I was being quite careful in saying type 2 diabetes, and if I wasn't, I apologize.
I think you do.
But the American Diabetes Association is sponsored very, very heavily, not only by drug companies, but also by very large food companies who give them astonishing amounts of money. And I think the American Diabetes Association is caught in a conflict of interest situation that's very, very difficult. And I think they should be paying much more attention to the conflict that they're in, because it has a big impact on the people that they're trying to help.
Let's talk to Anne in Manhattan. Anne, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I just want to reinforce everything Marion is saying. I have been a type 1 diabetic for 53 years, but I also was a diabetes educator and worked mostly with type 2 diabetics. I agree with her that there is an enormous conflict of interest with the American Diabetes Association. If you go to the diabetes fairs that they sponsor across the country, you will find booth after booth, people like Junior's Cheesecake Company selling diabetes-friendly cheesecake, which is a complete contradiction in terms, not just because of the carb count, but the fat count, all endorsed by the ADA. The other point I wanted to make is that you're right, both of you. Paula Deen's outrage isn't so much that she took so long to disclose her diabetes. It's her business arrangement. I am looking at the diabetes website, Diabetes in a New Light, that Novo Nordisk is now running for her. And the first recipe on there, this is a diabetic-friendly recipe, is Lady and Son's lasagna made with seven different kinds of cheese, ground beef, nothing that any diabetes nutritionist or diabetes educator would ever suggest that a diabetic eat.
And I'm going to leave it there. I really, really appreciate your call. But to that last point about the recipe and singling out those high-fat foods, I thought, Marion, and I'm not an expert, but I thought that it was the carbs. And if you ate a high-fat but low-carb diet, like an Atkins kind of thing, that you would be reducing your risk of diabetes rather than enhancing it. Is that not true?
No, actually it has to do with calories, and any source of calories is going to contribute to weight gain, and this is a matter of weight gain. So it's not, I don't want to demonize fat or demonize carbohydrates or demonize any source of calories. It's calories. It's how much you eat, and how much you eat matters much, much more than what the composition of the food is, except that if the food is delicious and high in calories, people are likely to eat more of it.
Things that break down to sugar aren't more of a diabetes risk?
No, it's calories.
Yeah.
More than anything, it's calories. And it's the total calorie contribution. Well, Paula Deen's recipes tend to be extremely high in calories. And if you eat a lot of it, you're going to gain weight if you're not exercising enough. It's really not any more complicated than that.
And that's
why it's so difficult to deal with this whole situation.
Ron, on our website, suggests another example of an industry that creates a problem and then markets what they say is the solution to the problem, the credit card companies. What about from a marketing standpoint regarding Paula Deen? Mad Men types, Madison Avenue advertising execs, have been quoted saying this is going to be a tough rebranding for Paula Deen, as it would be for anyone, from the woman who stands for deep-fried mac and cheese to the one who is telling you to eat light, exercise, and take your anti-diabetes medication regularly. Her show may not make sense anymore if she can't show you her recipe for Krispy Kreme bread pudding with gleeful abandon rather than with a sense of caution. They just don't go together.
They don't go together, but I'm not hearing a diet and exercise message from her. I'm hearing a drug message from her. Take this drug, and I have enough money to pay $500 a month for this drug.
Right. Well, supposedly she's putting out these light recipes, like the last caller cited, and she's going to incorporate that, whether you think they're truly light recipes or not, into her show under that brand.
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be very difficult to do that. Her recipes are delicious, and if you like that kind of cooking, they're really terrific. But, oh, my goodness, in moderation.
I'd like to see the debate moderators bring this up in South Carolina's final debate tonight. CNN, are you listening? and ask the candidates to support or oppose Michelle Obama's Get Fit campaign and say what, if anything, they would do as president to fight obesity in America. Because, you know, there are some politicians who mock Michelle Obama's Get Fit campaign against childhood obesity as meddling with parents' free choice.
Oh, yes. It's an enormous problem, and Mrs. Obama has her work cut out for her when all she's really trying to do is to make kids healthier. What's wrong with that? I can't think of a thing.
Well, it's a uniquely modern and American life cycle. Rather than live for prevention, live in a way that gives you heart disease or diabetes, then manage it through Lipitor or Vitozo or, you know, whatever is your drug of choice. All right, we're going to close because we're out of time with one final example of something that causes problems and then solves them.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Homer Simpson gets the last word with Marion Nestle, sociology and nutrition professor at NYU. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, learning to play the guitar or do other things that your body may be naturally not attuned to in midlife. Stay with us.